So, nope. That was the four-letter word that the bartender blurted out with an edge to her voice. When I said with all the politeness that a stranger eager to make friends could say, I said, dry martini, please. Nope. And then she followed it up with a very generous reveal. Don't know how to make them. Now, the best thing about the word nope is that you can rearrange the letters to spell the word open. And the I know, think about that. And the best thing about the phrase don't know how to make them is that if you can, if you're so inclined and have the ingredients, learn how to make them. I didn't mention either that observation or that insight to the bartender. And to set the scene, I was settling in at Gundy's Bar and Grill in Medina. I believe it's pronounced Medina, might be Medina, if anybody knows, but I'm gonna say Medina, North Dakota, population 264. Hoping that I might find a hamburger, side salad, and a restorative cocktail. It had been a long day of driving across Montana and into North Dakota with several long driving days ahead on my way to Duluth, Minnesota, the upper peninsula of Michigan, and then pinballing across the lower peninsula from Traverse City to Detroit and on to Cleveland to my final destination of Jamestown, New York, the birthplace of Lucille Ball, the nature guidebook writer Roger Torrey Peterson, and the rock band 10,000 Maniacs. Now, Jamestown is also the town where I was raised and my parents still live, but on this particular evening, the birthplace and the gravesite of Lucy were distant points on the map, and I had those immediate and pressing animal concerns of hunger and thirst. Now, the bartender was prescient enough to detect my facial muscles, creating that expression of mild disappointment. And then she asked me point blank, "Where are you from?" Now consider that for a moment. Where are you from? Now technically speaking, and truth be told, and frankly most accurately speaking, we are all from billions of years of evolution. Right? And those billions of years have plunked us humanoids right down here and now. And no matter how accurate, my guess is, based on quote unquote reading the room, is that smart-ass humanist response, albeit scientifically and artistically accurate, would not be welcome at Gundy's Bar and Grill on a random Thursday in July in Medina, North Dakota, population 264. And so imagine the scene, right? This road-weary stranger atop a stool meeting the bartender's eyes. Where am I from, you ask? I love thinking about the deep and layered meanings of that get-to-know-you question. Aren't we really all from eons of evolution? Each and all improbable and discrete consciousnesses bursting forth in full bloom at the sunrise tip of an impossibly long lineage of microscopic and incremental trial and error advancements towards ova and sperm and transformation, conception and cellular growth, birth and life, glory and suffering, and a swirling admixture of love and laughter and harrowing loss, each and all carrying within us our stories. And we've come a long way, haven't we? To the civilized distillments of vermouth, London dry gin, the bright rinds of aromatic lemons, preferably organic. Do you happen to have those ingredients on hand? Perhaps even most of them? If so, I would be delighted to teach you how to properly combine and chill and stir and gracefully decant into elegant stemware so we can toast our mutual good fortune to be here now. Long pause. Where are you from? So rather than that long-winded answer, I was as blunt as a concrete block near Seattle as I made mental note of the multiple fly swatters strategically positioned around the bar. Do you know where you are? She asked, And without waiting for an answer, she informed me, with the confidence and authority of lived experience and a touch of a raised voice, "You are in the middle of nowhere." Now, note the 2 points of specific emphasis in that sentence, "you" and "nowhere," as in "you are in the middle of nowhere." In other words, nope. So I took a new tack. How about gin on the rocks? Bartender nodded, obliged, pleased to help, and I got extremely close to what I was actually looking for, what in common parlance is called adjacent. I was martini adjacent in Gundy's, and I realized that much happiness in this life, I believe, is being content with being adjacent. So I ordered a hamburger, well done, with a side salad, and the little vignette might end there. But good fortune shined, and a young man entered Gundy's. He was probably in his 30s. He sat one stool away from me. He wore a bandana and a shirt with a paisley-like design, clothes that made him look like he was a time traveler, like this ambassador from 1967, the summer of love in San Francisco. He was a known Gundy's customer. He was a regular, called the bartender Emmy, noted for the record, Emmy. And he ordered, without referencing the menu, a hamburger, no bun, burnt onions, and a beer. It was a very specific order, and I really appreciated the burnt onions flourish. And we were now cousins of sorts, right? Hungry customers, meals ordered, sitting atop stools, gifted with this seam of time in a welcoming locale, albeit with a few flies buzzing around. And like I want to do, I offered a small talk opening to the incoming time traveler, something like, "Hot one out there, huh?" Or "Nice evening," I forget which. And he gave me a glance, a polite little nod, and then he reinvested his attention to his smartphone. His face was lit by the screen, his eyes intensely focused on those little tiny words and the images appearing as if by magic, this bright and colorful information delivered via a sophisticated network of all but invisible satellites and cell towers and server farms. And I'm always disheartened when people swoosh out of communal space by supplicating to their phone. And when confronted with this all too common occurrence, I think of a poem by Jim Harrison, and especially this couplet. This is from his poem called Sunlight. He was traveling and he was in a ricocheting from one airport to another. In the Seattle City airport, 8 of 10 were fiddling relentlessly with cell phones. I love that line, fiddling relentlessly with cell phones. And that swirls in my head every time I'm in an airport because I am provided ample reason to be reminded of the phrase. Now, real quick sidebar, as brilliant and beautiful as smartphones are, they have created this immense barrier for strangers trying to spark real-time conversation inside the middle of nowhere. The man was staring into a small lighted screen, sluicing his attention out of Gundy's and the fly swatters and the newcomer sitting next to him, killing some time before his meal. And there is the harrowing phrase, killing time, which calls to mind that deep and prophetic sentence from the first chapter of Henry David Thoreau's monstrous masterpiece, Walden, quote, as if you could kill time without injuring eternity. With the next sentence slightly edited, beginning the next paragraph, the mass of people live lives of quiet desperation. Those two sentences are worthy of pressing the repeat button. As if you could kill time without injuring eternity, the mass of people lead lives of quiet desperation. And so it was that the martini-adjacent stranger in Gundy's was coming to fully appreciate why fly swatters were positioned along the bar, getting ready to sit in lonely silence, a little bit of quiet desperation, when the young man put his cell phone down and brightened the day. "Where are you heading?" he asked. Pause. Now, please appreciate with all the force of philosophical and mythological potency the raw fact that within a few brief minutes in Gundy's Bar and Grill in Medina, North Dakota, population? 64, right on. Two ancient questions were verbalized. Where are you from? Where are you heading? Or as Socrates begins the famous dialogue, "Phaedrus, O dear Phaedrus, whither and whence now?" I'm sorry, "whither now and whence?" Translation, "where are you going now? Where are you coming from?" Now, responding to these two Socratic questions, the stranger becomes a knowable or more knowable entity, a traveler from somewhere, currently located for a brief period of time, the now, in the middle of nowhere, heading somewhere else. And please note for the record that the word now is embedded in the word nowhere. And with a slight insertion of space, the ominous word nowhere can become now, here. And again, because we here this morning are currently located within the protective bounds of this nourishing way station called Sanctuary, I ask us to reflect profoundly on the unassailable fact that we are currently embodying three simultaneous realities. One, we're all from somewhere. Two, we're all going somewhere else. And three, on a cosmic scale, we will all always be both in the middle of nowhere, and we will be now here. Now, these unassailable facts might be the reason why we consider to choose to gather together in Sanctuary and be gifted with that amazing poem this morning about miracles. And again, from Jim Harrison's poem, Sunlight, three more lines. It is said that we are here but seconds in cosmic time, 12 and a half billion years. But who is saying this and why? Now, I will admit that in Gundy's Bar and Grill, I felt a certain sense of vertigo. So when my neighbor put down his smartphone and began talking with me, I was truly delighted. Turns out he was a farmer. He grew wheat and soybeans. And I said, "Well, I noticed that you didn't order a bun with your meal. Do you avoid wheat?" He smiled. "Correct. I don't eat much wheat. It's not that good for you. And yes, the irony is not lost on me." Now, at that point, my bebun burger was delivered, and I thanked the farmer for growing wheat. And when his bunless burger was delivered, we sat along the bar, eating and drinking and talking. And I will be damned, but within 15 minutes, we went from chatting about relatively safe topics like sports and music, willfully ignoring politics, and we moved into deeper metaphysical territory, such as, I kid you not, cosmic time. How, as the poet says, our lives compared to the time of the universe's cauldron are no longer than the sound of the contained pressure released from the second can of beer that Emmy opened in front of our farmer. Psst. Consider. Psst. I know, it was a pretty interesting conversation. So there was an empty stool between us and Gundy's. This was a physical manifestation of that space inserted between now and here and nowhere. Bartender Emmy, she picked up a fly swatter and scanned the area with a hunter's attention. Food was in her bellies, drinks working their magic. We shared stories. He told me that he wakes up every day, sees the sunrise. He said that one of the great good fortunes of his day is every day he gets to see the sunset. He told me that his sister works as an emergency room doctor in a major East Coast city, that she has seen, and I quote, a lot of shit. Please forgive the strong language. That he stopped attending college after a year because why bother? He needed to move his body to actually do something tangible and real. that he drove a long-haul truck for a while, and then he began working as a farmer. And driving a truck, he said, is a lot like being a farmer. You're sitting in that glass cube all day long, just driving. And I asked what he did with his time inside the glass cube. And he told me that he listened to podcasts, two of his favorite being The Daily from the New York Times, and then the storytelling podcast, The Moth. So I loved that image. A young farmer, dressed from the summer of love, sitting atop his ginormous farm equipment, working these massive fields inside the glass cube, wearing earbuds, listening to these life-altering and life-affirming stories of travel and transformation and discovery from a profound range of humanity. Stories by queer black men, trans and non-binary folks, single moms, widows and widowers, orphans, addicts, scholars, lost souls, comedians, veterans, formerly incarcerated people trying to make their way into society, each and all with their story. And I'm reminded of that great quote by the poet Muriel Rukeyser: "The universe is made of stories, not atoms." They're intense and intimate, and often hilarious and heartbreaking stories, each and all living their precious few heartbeats within cosmic time. Dear traveler, dear storytellers, as the wisest philosopher asked, whither now and whence? We're all from somewhere. We are all going somewhere else. We may occasionally lose sight and think that we are in the middle of nowhere, but we are always now here. So I felt comfortable enough in this conversation to play the devilish role of the French existentialist, and I lowered the boom, right? You know, in cosmic time, we're already dead. Tell me about it, he said. Like I told you, I see the sunrise every morning. I see the sunset every evening. We allowed that comment to just hang there in Gundy's. And this morning's sunrise, observed from the green field in North Dakota, was a sublime sensory experience of cosmic time. And the sunset, currently scheduled for 2,500 heartbeats from right now, will be a sublime sensory experience of cosmic time. And as any poet will tell you, the infinite is contained within the finite. Or as William Blake so brilliantly reminds us in one of our hymns, to see a world in the grain of sand and a heaven in a wildflower, hold infinity in the palm of your hand and eternity in an hour. The farmer and the traveler, each atop their stool, both now here, well-fed, quite content within their cosmic time, pleased to have shared a conversation that started in the shallows and then traveled very deep. And when I made my move to leave, the farmer said, "Dinner's on me." "Why?" I asked. "Because we got around to talking about cosmic time," he said. So in the middle of nowhere, two of the greatest gifts human beings can bestow, generosity and kindness, freely given, gratefully received, now here. Amen.